This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
It's really great to be catching up with Oisín Mulligan from Mulligan's Fitness. Thank you so much for joining me again. It's great to chat to you.
What's a crack? How are you? Always a pleasure to jump on with you.
Absolutely. Now, I can't believe that we're into April already. You know, it was a couple of months ago when we were having a chat all about how to, you know, get into an exercise routine, all of that kind of stuff. You'll be delighted to hear that I've started to get into the gym myself as well. Albeit slowly. But look, I know now what dumbbells are and kettlebells and lunges and all that kind of stuff. But look, I mean, I know you'd said it a million times, but like, you just feel so much better when you're working on yourself and, you know, you're eating healthy and that kind of thing. But a lot of the people that have been talking about exercise and working out and stuff, it seems to be a bit of a struggle when you're exercising, but the food is kind of not matching. You know, you're kind of struggling at the weekends to maybe keep up with healthy eating or knowing what to eat and how to kind of maintain it. Have you got any tips for people who might be in that boat? Like, they're exercising regularly, but maybe they're just not 100% on the diet part.
Yeah, so I think that's a difficult one, and a lot of people struggle, specifically with the weekends as well. Like, the weekend is always going to be a little bit of a struggle point for most people because routine is different. I think when it comes to exercise, right, so you have the target nailed with exercise. If you're doing exercise for the sake of enjoyment and the sake of feeling good and the sake of maybe getting stronger, mm-hmm. it's where people struggle is when they're trying to exercise for the sake of fat loss, because again, that all really realistically comes down to nutrition and more so than exercise. Because if we're trying to exercise in the gym for the sake of burning fat, we're likely doing lots of runs, we're likely doing high intensity stuff. When this stuff isn't bad, like, it's enjoyable for some people, I enjoy yeah. that form of training, but I think people get caught up in that form of exercise, which actually increases their appetite. So when we're doing really high intensity exercise, it's actually going to cause our appetite to spike a little bit, and then it's going to cause us to be more hungry when we get home, and likely people are going to then overeat and feel guilty about it. So what yeah. I recommend people actually do with nutrition and training is to try and use nutrition to improve your training. So for example, you're going to feel a lot more motivated and better in yourself if you're using your nutrition to get stronger in the gym, mm-hmm. because then if you're getting stronger, you know, okay, look, my nutrition is helping me build muscle mass here, so let's focus on getting a little bit more protein in, rather than just focusing on nutrition for the sake of fat loss. Sometimes that gets very tedious, very boring, and we're not seeing any movements in the scales, which is where most people give up and stop making progress altogether. I think that that's super important to switch that mindset surrounding nutrition. Hard question, because it does take a lot of energy to nail exercise and your nutrition. Yeah. So for some people, even just focusing on one at a time. So rather than trying to do everything perfectly, let's just try focusing on exercise and get consistent with exercising. Once we get into a consistent exercise routine over a long period of time, let's just try improve our nutrition by one step. So mm-hmm. one step improvement mm-hmm. of my nutrition might be drinking one extra glass of water in comparison to what I drank last week.
Yeah.
Or one step yeah. better on my nutrition might be eating slightly more protein than I did the week before. And again, this stuff can be tracked using apps like MyFitnessPal or whatever, but you don't even necessarily have to track it. You can just consciously think of, okay, maybe I'm just going to incorporate protein with every single meal, or maybe I'm just going to have a glass of water with every single meal. These small improvements are going to stop people from giving up, because the reason most people give up on their health and fitness goals and actually struggle with nutrition is because they have these really, really small targets that they have to meet. Mm-hmm. What I recommend everybody doing that's listening to this, one of the best analogies that I can come up with, imagine you were flying an airplane, right, and you had to land an airplane on a really, really small runway, or on the motorway there from Athlone to Dublin, you had to yep. land it on that. Going to be very hard because the runway is very, very small. So that's what most of our expectations are. Most of our expectations are really, really high, to the point where it's really hard to land our goals. What we want to do is widen that runway, make it 3-4 times the size of Dublin Airport. So instead of putting the calorie target on yourself of maybe only 1,000 calories, increase it to 2,000. Even if that's not where you're going to lose weight, it's going to build confidence and it's yeah. going to make you feel better and more motivated to where you're ticking the box. Then as we go, we start to shorten the runway and we'll build our confidence and we get better at landing the plane as we land it on a wider runway. And as we bring it smaller, then we're going to get more accurately towards your goals. Essentially starting with really wide, easy goals to tick off, like a 5-minute walk in the evening time, and slowly increasing them to your 20-minute, half an hour to an hour walk in the evening time over time. Most people try to jump from 0 to 100 straight away, and that's where the issue is. So instead of 0 to 100, let's go 0 to 1. Let's just focus on losing that first pound. Let's, again, one step at a time, and that's where motivation will come along, rather than when we overwhelm ourselves with so much to do and we fail, or we don't meet our guidelines, or we crash that airplane, we lose our confidence and we lose that kind of ability to push on forward and feel like we're making progress. So the goal is to trick yourself into feeling like you're always making progress. Trick yourself into always feeling good and never that negative self-talk, which most people fall into. And that's key. Sounds a bit wishy-washy and sounds a bit like La La Land or whatever.
I
But I promise you,
love.
that mindset switch helped me massively with my weight loss, because I would have been a person that always bet myself up over it all the time.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. There's been a lot of chat, and I suppose you can overconsume a lot of social media when it comes to, like if you start working out, and then should you be taking protein? Should you be going off to the shop and buying protein bars instead of your Kit Kat and all of that kind of stuff? You might think that if you buy all the bits and pieces that you see in Aldi or Lidl or Super Value or whatever, and they're protein and it's great and blah, blah, blah. But do you really need to be taking more protein, or bringing it into your diet? What is the function of protein if you are working out, and does everybody need to take more, or how do you even understand it?
Yeah, so it can become quite complicated to understand protein when you're just listening to all the advice online and seeing everything. But the guidelines of increase your protein are applicable to absolutely everybody, because most people are simply not eating enough protein. And the reason why people are trying to get you to increase the amount of protein is because it is the building blocks of our body. Everything in our body, our cells, everything are made up of protein. But also, there's a satiating or satiation thing that they have, a list of the most satiating foods on planet. Most of the foods that are on top end of the most satiating, or the ones that are going to keep you the most full, are high in protein. So that's why people are pushing higher protein foods, is because the more protein that you consume, the more full you're going to feel. I do think, however, some people rely on supplements slightly too much. And it's not that the supplements are bad, they're brilliant, especially if you're vegan or vegetarian. To get your protein intake up, highly recommend them. And there's loads of different places. People often ask, Oshin, what type of protein should I get? Just the cheapest one. You don't need anything, and one that doesn't taste bad, because some of them do. I think for most people, a higher protein intake is going to keep you more full. It's going to help you lose more body weight as well, if that what you're looking to do is lose fat. Because when we're digesting protein, we actually burn off a percentage of those calories because our body heats up. So for anyone that would have had a barbecue with lots of meat in it, you sometimes get the meat sweats. That's essentially what that is. Body temperature is increasing, and it's helping us burn more calories. So it's keeping us more full, it's helping us burn more calories. And then for the gym and the people who are in the gym, it helps muscle recovery and to build muscle as well. Now, I know a lot of women listening to this are like, oh, I don't want to increase my protein because I don't want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or any of the bodybuilders that we might have had that you might have seen. But that's like saying, I don't want to get in my car and drive my car because I'll become a NASCAR driver. Not going to happen. I've been training for however long, not going to happen. I think the focus on protein for women, and one thing that I say to a lot of women that will come to me, is like, protein is actually helps with your skin, your hair, your nails. They're all made out of protein. Keratin is a protein, and that's in your skin, hair, and nails as well. So again, emphasis on that can improve the quality of those things, and also, again, help you lose body fat and build muscle mass. The issue with a lot of women, especially, and I'm targeting women because, again, you're normally targeted from dieting and fads and stuff like that, is that they've lost so much muscle mass from dieting consistently, from trying to lose more and more weight. Because when we're in a calorie deficit over a long period of time, we're going to lose muscle mass. When we increase our muscle mass, we increase our metabolic rate, which is going to help us lose weight over the long run. But also, when it comes to menopause, handle our symptoms better, keep a higher metabolism to the point where we're going to find it really, really hard to regain weight. It's going to improve our overall mood because we're going to have more energy from having more muscle mass. So these are the things and reasons why we want to increase. Now, as I touched on, I think people rely on the supplements a little bit too much, and which ones should I get or what? I highly recommend just trying to increase your normal protein range with the foods that you're eating on every single day. Just for the sheer reason that then you don't have to pay a supplement company every single day. You can go into the shops and make yourself more aware of what foods are higher in protein, what foods are lower in protein, and just become aware of that and slowly try to start to increase. So the best tip I can give to everybody, for people maybe looking to increase their protein intake but can't afford protein powders, maybe don't want to have them, or maybe don't want to go for all the higher protein foods for whatever reason. Sometimes it can upset your stomach. Look at the protein sources that you're already having in your diet. So just look at the meals that you're already having, and then increase the portion size of that protein that you're having. So for example, most people will have some form of meat for their dinner, maybe chicken, maybe roast beef. In order to increase the protein content in roast beef or whatever you're having, maybe look for a lower fat content that has a higher protein content. Maybe just increase the portion size that you're giving to yourself, and that's going to help. But anyways, off on a big long ramble, protein is definitely beneficial, highly underrated, and I think most people should follow the guidelines of trying to increase their protein intake. Again, how much you increase your protein intake by, I would say for most people, just look to increase it by maybe 5 grams per week or 10 grams per week until you're building up to over 100 grams for most people would suit. Again, these are general guidelines. If you look up online, you can find kind of protein calculators to give you an idea of how much you actually need.
Definitely. And then say if you're somebody, like I've been looking on TikTok, and there's people taking protein shakes, like when they come home from the gym or that type of stuff. If you are somebody who wants to supplement your protein and you do want to buy a shake, there's a lot of them at the minute that are targeted towards women. There's a low fat content, there's not really many calories, all that kind of stuff. And it's easy to get sucked in. But like if you are somebody, let's just say you've bought one and you're like, right, okay, do you only take it on the days that you were working out, or should you maybe implement it into your daily routine? 'Cause at the same time, obviously they're going to have some amount of calories. So, you know, like I kind of stay away from protein bars unless I actually said it in the office the other day. I think the only time I've ever bought protein bars is if I'm on a flight or something and I know I'm going to be hungry, you know, 4 hours into this flight and there's no real like food on the flight, I might buy a protein bar because I know it's going to fill me up. But that's the only reason I'd really buy a protein bar. I wouldn't buy one instead of something else. But like with the protein shakes, maybe you've bought some and you're not entirely sure when you should be taking it. Should it be every day? Should it be only when you work out? There's a lot of confusion out there.
Yeah, so I think like a confusion again, the reason people create confusion, or there is confusion, because it's easier to sell you things. So for example, the name protein things that might be female protein. Protein is protein. It doesn't matter. There's no target of protein for only females or whatever. It's actually cheaper if you don't buy them ones because they're targeted at you, so they can charge more. So I'd stay away from those. As you said, protein still has calories, so you can actually gain fat by eating too much of these things if you're going over your total calorie intake. Again, most people aren't because of the protein. They're going over because of other things, but just still important if you are tracking your calories, you're going down that route, for the people that are, maybe just watch that. And then when to drink your protein or when to have your protein shakes is whenever. Again, there is no optimal time. There might be, like they say, the scientific research says you'll absorb the protein best after the gym session. But what's most important is total protein intake. So if you're not having enough protein throughout the day, there's your issue. Have it whenever, and it won't really matter because you're increasing that total amount. If you're perfecting your protein intake and you really want to get up into the top 1% of being an athlete or being somebody that steps on stage and does bodybuilding, well, then it might be more important to know exactly when. But for the ordinary person, for most of us listening to this, even myself, like I train quite a bit. I don't worry about when I get my protein intake in. I'll get it in whenever I get the chance. I just make sure that my total daily amount at the end of the day is hit, because I think that that overcomplicates things. Again, the more simple that we can keep fitness and nutrition, the better that people are going to get on, and the better that you guys are going to feel, and less overwhelmed as well. Because again, with protein powder and all these supplements, it can feel really overwhelming because you're like, oh, is that dangerous for me, or what's the crack with it? Should I take this or should I not take this? With protein powder, again, it is just food. It's essentially processed milk, so they just skim the top off the milk, and that's where protein comes from. It's not any steroid type thing that would have thought in the past, like people would have put out there, especially my parents when I wanted to get it initially years ago. Essentially, just comes from milk, and it's powdered, and you just throw it into a scoop and shake it up. That's exactly what it is. But there's nothing special in it. It's not going to make you gain muscle any faster than just eating your protein or from a regular diet either.
Brilliant. And I one thing I wanted to touch on as well, because I suppose there's a lot of you know, talk about the difference between cardio and then the difference in a bit of strength and conditioning. Because I suppose I've been listening to a lot of, I suppose, you know, articles that are coming out and saying that if you have more muscle in your body, like it's better for you, say, with your cardiovascular. It's, you know, you're helping your body a lot more when you do have a bit more muscle. It's gonna maybe, well, from what they say, you know, help you not get as sick as much. If you've a bit more muscle, you're just going to be, you know, a better version of yourself. Should you incorporate, let's just say, lifting weights, or, you know, like even if it is your dumbbells or your like your kettlebells or whatever, and cardio, do they need to fit hand in hand?
I think it's all important. I think all of it is important. I think for most people, if someone has asked me, Oisin, I only have so many hours in a week, I either want to do resistance training or I want to do cardio, I would say do your resistance training. So lifting weights would be the one I'd first choose. If someone's come to me and I'm like, Oisin, I really like my cardio training, I don't really like my weightlifting, what should I do? I would say do your cardio training, because you're going to do that more consistently. And maybe before or after your cardio training, add in a little bit of weights there, so it's not too annoying. Add in a small bit. But I think they're both essential, because if you just do the weight training and don't do any cardiovascular health, your heart health and stuff like that, it's not that it's going to be negative, but it just won't be as good as you could possibly make it if you were. And again, both are going to impact each other as well. So if we're doing more cardio-based exercises, it's actually going to make us better in our strength training sessions, because we're going to recover faster because our heart and our blood vessels and everything else like that are more adapted. And if we're just doing the cardio side of things, we're more likely to get injured, more likely to be losing muscle mass in comparison to gaining it. And therefore, you could end up injured now with your cardio training for a little while if you're not doing any strength training. So what I would say to most people, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I really don't like lifting weights and I really want to, you haven't tried enough different ways of lifting weights. There's CrossFit, which again, most people complain about, but I think is brilliant because community aspect. I think there is other classes that you can do in gyms, like body pump classes or whatever it might be. People also shit on classes quite a bit and say, oh, they're bad and they're not kind of the proper way to build muscle. But if you're doing some form of lifting with weights, it doesn't matter. You can go into the gym and take long rest times. You can go into the gym and do some circuit style training with weights. As long as you're using weights, to move them from point A to point B using different muscles, you're going to get the benefit from it. Yeah. Just find a way in which you enjoy the most. For me, that's high intensity stuff. I like lifting weights quite quickly. Don't like spending a huge amount of time at the gym. And I don't like when I'm not getting a little bit of a sweat on. So for me, that's it. Other people might not like to get a sweat on, might not like their heart rate going up too high. And that's okay. Just relax and do it a little bit slower. But I think everybody should do some form of weight training. Everybody should do some form of cardio training. And cardio training, people are thinking running. If you're getting out and getting 5 minutes of a walk in the evening time, you're doing something. That's what all we're looking for. That's what most health professionals are looking for, is just looking for you to do something slightly better than what you're doing now. It does not have to be perfect, let's say.
Yeah, and that's what I love about, you know, having a chat to you as well, because you don't necessarily need to be training to do the Dublin or New York Marathon. It could be literally going out in the evening time when hopefully we've a bit nicer weather, but like going out and enjoying a walk, you know, staying off your phone, you know, like getting out into a bit of fresh air and making it consistent.
Yeah, and I think health and fitness should add to your life rather than take away from it, because so many people get to this point in a weight loss journey or in a health journey or whatever, where they start pushing it more and more and more to the point where it takes away. Like I did the Dublin Marathon last year. Mm-hmm. I was actually healthier before I did the Dublin Marathon, but then when doing the Dublin Marathon or after.
Yeah.
Because 6-7 days a week, I was going out in 10 kilometer runs, absolutely no time to myself, no social time, and taking away from everything and breaking down my body day after day after day. But meanwhile, now where I'm only training 3 times a week, I'm enjoying my life. I'm still looking after my nutrition here and there, probably have a takeaway every couple of weeks or so and enjoying myself with that. I'm actually probably healthier because I have a good balance of everything in my life. I think that that's what most people miss out on with fat loss, with weight loss, with health, is that they think they have to cut out absolutely everything and just be either, I'm either healthy or I'm not healthy.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're missing that balance where you're in the middle and you're enjoying these so-called unhealthy foods, or these foods that if you know you consume too much of, it's probably not going to be a good thing. But also, like, consuming too many of the foods that are so-called good can be a bad thing too. If you're drinking too much water, that can be negative. If you're doing too much exercise, that can be a bad thing. There's like orthorexia, which is an eating disorder where you focus too much on being perfect with your nutrition. I think most people are falling into that category nowadays, and I think it's okay to not be perfect with everything and realize that you don't always have to do more and more and more and more. Specifically for people that maybe are on a weight loss journey, when you're losing 1 pound a week, or you're losing even like recommended amount is probably half a pound a week, most people get upset if they're losing less than that. And I would say less than that is better, because why are we all striving to do more and more and more quickly when actually we want to keep this up over the long run? And doing less is going to make it easier to keep up over the long run. Doing maybe my 30 minute walk over forcing myself out for an hour that I absolutely hate, I'm going to do the half an hour more consistently over a long period of time and get healthier because of that. So again, what suits you and what suits somebody else is going to be completely different. What suits your lifestyle, my lifestyle. And again, I think most people are led to believe that the only way is the perfect way because they're looking at athletes or fitness models online that have to be perfect and that are criticized for not being perfect, rather than just regular people. Like, I'd often get comments on social media about people telling me, oh, Oisin, you don't look like a personal trainer. I look like a normal person because that's what I want to be. I just want to enjoy my life, want to enjoy things from time to time and enjoy social occasions. And I want to coach people to do the exact same fucking thing because everybody has that person online that they look up to and think that their life is perfect or whatever. So again, I'm here to change the narrative on that. You do not have to be perfect with anything, nutrition or fat loss. And the more that you get into that mindset, the more likely you are to make longer progress and be healthier over time.
Yeah, that's why I love having you on, because like there's no BS. You know, you kind of say it as it is. And I mean, you don't necessarily have to be a bodybuilder or somebody who's training for a marathon to, you know, partake in fitness. Oisin, as always, we could talk forever about this because I find it so interesting. But if anybody wants to catch up on your social media or check out anything that you're getting up to yourself, where's the best place to go?
So if you go to Mulligan's Fitness on Instagram, TikTok or YouTube or wherever, if you just type it in, you'll find me there somewhere, or Oisin Mulligan, I'm sure you'll find me.
Ah, super. Oisin, as always, it's such a pleasure to have a chat to you. Yeah, thank you so much, and no doubt we'll check back in with you again soon.
Thanks a million, Louise. See you later.
The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.